A Living Silence.
It is a sign of the love of God, says Swiss philosopher Max Picard, that mystery is always separated from man by a layer of silence. And in our noisy world, how often we forsake the precious mystery hidden within that stillness. Quietude is the language here in the Quaker Meeting House at Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is where Quakers, also called Friends, gather reverently for meditation, following the tradition established by young George Fox in England more than 300 years ago. Through their peaceful reflections, Quakers can again hear the soft voice of divine guidance, a voice which lives in all people, according to Friends. Thus renewed, they can, in the phrase of George Fox, walk cheerfully over the earth. For Douglas and Dorothy Steer, it is a great adventure.
One of the things that makes the life of a Quaker an exciting one is that each morning he doesn't know where this day is going. He doesn't know the new people that are going to come into his life on this day. He doesn't know how he may be tested in this day beyond anything that he's able to do. But he knows he's not alone in this, and that this can happen in the most unexpected place. You may be smashed into with a car, or you may have an illness that you hadn't expected at all come into this. You may end up in a hospital or something of that kind. But even there, all kinds of new openings and possibilities come to you if you're open for them. And this is trying to live an open life, I suppose, is what the kind of Quaker way is all about.
I think this is it. I think it is that life never ceases to be exciting, because we never know what's ahead. And if you have this sense that somehow God is there, and that you're at his disposal, and that you want very much to be his follower, and that you want to live the kind of life that's in tune with him, then it is exciting all the time. It may be, there may be times when you can't measure up to all of this, and when you may be downed. If an accident happens, you may be temporarily just overwhelmed, or if there's a death, you may be temporarily overwhelmed. But I think it's this sense that somehow you're in his hands, and whatever comes in life, that he's there, and that he will be with you, and so that it makes life very, very exciting.
That confidence has imparted great courage to Friends. From the beginning, they have been dissenters against religious doctrine, against war, against the subjugation of women, even in Puritan times. And for their independence, Friends often were persecuted. The term Quaker itself was coined out of derision, mocking those who quaked before the Lord in fervent prayer. But faced with adversity, Friends bonded together. Through communal Christian spirit, all were seen as equal. Their meetings for worship appointed no ministers. Instead, anyone moved by the depths of contemplation could rise and speak to the silent assembly. It enlivened Quaker prayer with spontaneity, and of course laid it open sometimes to abuse. Of the 200,000 Friends in the world today, many have turned to a more conventional arrangement of pastors and planned out prayers. In this program, we'll focus on Quakers who've kept to the original style of worship. Our exploration of silent prayer begins with a passage from Recollections, written by the late Amelia Forbes Emerson.
For 300 years, Quakers have based the most sacred act of religious observance, the meeting for worship, upon this most fragile, most sensitive, most easily shattered thing, silence. In the gathered meeting, it often happens that individual worship merges into a greater whole, And in the stillness comes an upsurge of spiritual power and a clearness of vision, which is far beyond what each one can attain alone. Silence is one of the profound bases upon which life is founded. It is so fundamental, so normal, that like the sky above and the earth beneath, we take it for granted and scarcely give it a thought. An intense need arises to come in touch with inner reserves, which in all times have been man's stay. We know that silence is not in itself the inner light, but we believe that it is the setting, the favorable atmosphere, for that of which we are in search.
The power of silence, I believe, is you can't escape it. You can't talk your way out of it, right? There it is, and there you are. And unless you get up and leave, you're a part of it. And silence forces you to face yourself. You can't get away from your own thoughts, whatever's going through your own mind. You can try to quiet your mind and to allow the spirit to enter it and to fill it. But that is difficult at times, especially if you're full of a great deal of activity, and most of us these days are. We rush to meeting, or we drive a car. We don't pick violets on the way. There's a great deal of disturbance in our lives, so I suppose for most of us it takes a good share of that hour or three quarters of an hour to settle down, to settle into silence, as friends term it.